11.1 Hindu society seems to me to stand in need of a moral regeneration which it is dangerous to postpone. And the question is, who can determine and control this moral regeneration? Obviously, only those who have undergone an intellectual regeneration and those who are honest enough to have the courage of their convictions born of intellectual emancipation. Judged by this standard, the Hindu leaders who count are, in my opinion, quite unfit for the task. It is impossible to say that they have undergone the preliminary intellectual regeneration. If they had undergone an intellectual regeneration, they would neither delude themselves in the simple way of the untaught multitude, nor would they take advantage of the primitive ignorance of others as one sees them doing. 11.2 Notwithstanding the crumbling state of Hindu society, these leaders will nevertheless unblushingly appeal to ideals of the past which have in every way ceased to have any connection with the present. Ideals which, however suitable they might have been in the days of their origin, have now become a warning rather than a guide. They still have a mystic respect for the earlier forms which makes them disinclined, nay, opposed, to any examination of the foundations of their society. The Hindu masses are, of course, incredibly heedless in the formation of their beliefs, but so are the Hindu leaders. And what is worse is that these Hindu leaders become filled with an illicit passion for their beliefs when anyone proposes to rob them of their companionship. 11.3 The Mahatma is no exception. The Mahatma appears not to believe in thinking. He prefers to follow the saints. Like a conservative with his reverence for consecrated notions, he is afraid that if he once starts thinking, many ideals and institutions to which he clings will be doomed. One must sympathize with him. For every act of independent thinking puts some portion of an apparently stable world in peril. 11.4 But it is equally true that dependence on saints cannot lead us to know the truth. The saints are, after all, only human beings. And as Lord Balfour said, the human mind is no more a truth-finding apparatus than the snout of a pig. Insofar as he does think, to me, he really appears to be prostituting his intelligence to find reasons for supporting this archaic social structure of the Hindus. He is the most influential apologist of it and therefore the worst enemy of the Hindus. 11.5 Unlike the Mahatma, there are Hindu leaders who are not content merely to believe and follow. They dare to think and act in accordance with the result of their thinking. But unfortunately, they are either a dishonest lot or an indifferent lot when it comes to the question of giving right guidance to the mass of the people. Almost every Brahmin has transgressed the rule of caste. The number of Brahmins who sell shoes is far greater than those who practice priesthood. Not only have the Brahmins given up their ancestral calling of priesthood for trading, but they have entered trades which are prohibited to them by the Shastras. Yet, how many Brahmins who break caste every day will preach against caste and against the Shastras? 11.6 For one honest Brahmin preaching against caste and Shastras because his practical instinct and moral conscience cannot support a conviction in them, there are hundreds who break caste and trample upon the Shastras every day, but who are the most fanatic upholders of the theory of caste and the sanctity of the Shastras. Why this duplicity? Because they feel that if the masses are emancipated from the yoke of caste, they would be a menace to the power and prestige of the Brahmins as a class. The dishonesty of this intellectual class, who would deny the masses the fruits of their thinking, is a most disgraceful phenomenon. 11.7 The Hindus, in the words of Matthew Arnold, are wandering between two worlds, one dead, the other powerless to be born. What are they to do? The Mahatma to whom they appeal for guidance does not believe in thinking, and can therefore give no guidance which can be said to stand the test of experience. The intellectual classes to whom the masses look for guidance are either too dishonest or too indifferent to educate them in the right direction. We are indeed witnesses to a great tragedy. In the face of this tragedy, all one can do is to lament and say, "Such are thy leaders, O Hindus."
Annihilation of Caste, An Undelivered Speech, 1936, by Dr. B. R. Ambedkar. Read by Sagar Arya for Dharma Audiobooks.